Well, good morning, everyone. I trust you all had a wonderful Christmas holiday. I know it's, I always say it's a wonderful thing to be in the Mandich house eating my wife's cooking in all of her bakery. I put on at least 5-10 pounds, I don't know. But that's just all a part of the holidays, right? All right. Well, if we haven't met, my name is Tim Mandich, and I'm the pastor of the Able Church. I'm also the executive pastor here at Living Hope Church. And today, as we wind down our last Sunday of 2024, and we look to the new year, I wanted to share with you a little bit about what is it that we have to look forward to in ahead, what's ahead in 2025. So I did put this message together. It's titled, Laying Aside the Past and Striving Anew. And of course, that's all talking about the future. And that can be self-explanatory in a lot of different ways, but I think admittedly, a lot of us struggle to lay aside that past, and we need perhaps a little push in allowing ourselves to be forgiven, allowing ourselves to lay some things aside that are just holding us back in life. So in your bulletin, if you look at the back panel, you'll see we have an outline that I put there. And you can follow along with that and see the three main points supporting this theme that we're talking about. And let me just go through our three main points this morning. First, we're going to talk about laying aside our past, which has more to do with some of the bad things in life that we drag around. And the second point, laying out our spiritual goals to hopefully positively influence us for good and for the future. And lastly, pressing ahead for 2025 and all that God has for us. And I believe he does have a lot of good things in store for us. So it's always my tradition to give you a little quote of the day to stir your thinking about what this message is all about. And I have one here by one of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis. I've used him before. But he has a quote that I think is very fitting for the moment. It says this, there are far, far better things ahead than what we leave behind. And I think we all can give a hearty amen to that. So for sure, I think we all know that we do have a rich future that lies ahead of us. And like C.S. Lewis said, there are better things ahead. And if we are willing to embrace that and seek after that, I believe God has some good things in store for us. Unfortunately, as time goes on, as we age out and we go through some difficulties of life, we can allow that to be supplanted by the desires to play life safe. And I know I've been there. I can recall a time when I was battling cancer. I wanted to play life a little bit safe during that time. And for obvious reasons, I wasn't feeling like I wanted to set some new goals in life. I was just trying to make it through that time in my life. But unfortunately, when we play life safe too much, when we allow that to become our way of life, we can become, what would you say? Less of ourselves and more withdrawn, which takes us away from God more, or it can, and it certainly takes us away from our interactions with others and our ability to encourage others, which is so important. But praise the Lord, not everyone is that way. In fact, for me, I'm so encouraged every Sunday when I take Shirley Bueller home. She always reminds me on the way home how she singled out everyone that she could, all the kids, and reminded them that Jesus loves them. Now, that, to me, that's encouraging. That's amazing. Now, Shirley is 80 years old. She still has a sense of ministry in ministering to these kids. And Shirley, I say God bless you, sister. You're doing a good work. So I've done some messages like this in the past at Able Church, and I've always felt like We should try to strive to stretch ourselves a little bit and not create these comfort zones for ourselves where we're in that safe place and we're not maybe stretching ourselves to a new level that God may want us to be in or be a part of. And so that's what I hope to do today, is to stretch us just a little bit more. So let's go to our first point, laying aside our past. Now, I think intellectually we all can agree doing the same things in life that are wrong over and over is never a good thing, especially when we're hoping for a better future for ourselves. In fact, we may recognize that the definition of insanity is really that, doing the same things over and over and hoping for a better result. So breaking bad habits can be very hard as well. We simply must do something to get off that treadmill of these reoccurring things that are going on in our lives. So if I were to, for example, define the word habit, we might use the definition of living out a tendency or a practice of doing something over and over that becomes harder and harder to give up. And that's the problem in life, is that we will do something over and over only to have it become a way of life for us, and it becomes harder and harder to give that up. So it's one of the reasons that I love this ministry that we have here at Living Hope Church called Celebrate Recovery. It's a ministry that forces us to look hard and long at our tendencies to repeat unhealthy life choices that only prove to work against us in the end. And so from a spiritual standpoint, that list of things is rather long and varied, but somewhere deep inside of us, many times we're trying to mask the hurt and the pain that we've experienced in our lives. So I'm not a psychologist, so I won't take that analogy much further, but I do know that we often will believe hard things in our lives are something that God brought into our lives, or maybe that God is punishing us. So we take these lies that the enemy feeds us, and they become a part of our thinking. And I know that is the one thing that God would like us to get rid of in our lives, or root out in our lives, is to root out those lies that the enemy has us believing. Now, I believe the Apostle Paul had this in mind when he wrote these words found in Hebrews 12:1. Let me read that. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, if we're going to run this successful race that we're plotting out in 2025, then we need to paste perhaps this message or this verse on our refrigerators and remind ourselves each and every day that there are sins in our lives that we are tempted to allow us to be ensnared with, and we need to fight that battle. It's a battle that we need to fight each and every day. So our laying aside every weight of every sin that's ensnaring us is a great starting point and our goals for 2025, so that we can have that breakout year that I know each and every one of us would love to have. So choosing to ignore our problems and kicking the can down the road and stuffing emotions in our lives is not a good thing. It's preventing us from moving forward in life as we should. And so as I thought about that problem, I wanted to put together maybe a little bit of an analogy that might help us to understand what that looks like. So I put together this. I don't know if it makes sense to you or not, but give it a try. You're driving down the road, and suddenly the oil light goes on. Now, some of us have experienced that, right? Then after a month of ignoring the warning light, suddenly the engine freezes up. And now we find ourselves stranded in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a snowstorm. I'll embellish just a little bit more. Later, when the tow truck driver comes to our rescue, you fess up, explain to the driver that you didn't know that when the oil light goes on that we needed to stop and address this potentially serious problem. Well, if that's us, and we're talking to a tow truck driver about us ignoring something as serious as an oil light go on, we can pretty much expect to get the look. You know the look? Yeah, we're going to get that. And, you know, in life, sometimes we are warned of impending danger with sin lurking in our lives. And if we choose to ignore that, we too can experience bad things that happen to us, and that we can't ignore those things in our lives. And if we do choose to ignore them, we might find ourselves as Cain did, going back to the story where God spoke to Cain about his anger and his jealousy that were getting the best of him. It's found in Genesis 4:7. Let me read that to you. "You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." You see, some things in life, as I said, we just can't ignore. And if we do, God might have to approach us in his own subtle way, talk to us about subduing the sin in our lives and being its master. And I'm thankful here at Living Hope Church that we have invested into ministries like Celebrate Recovery and life groups and men's and women's ministries. All these things encourage us in life. And they're willing. There's people in there that are mature Christians that are willing to help us along life's way if we will share our lives and be more transparent in asking for the help that we need in our lives. And then there's the bad influences in our lives that are like, well, I'll call them like balls and chains around our ankles. And unfortunately, we drag them around wherever we go. And some of those things look like toxic relationships that we're involved with. Or maybe they're just bad choices and habits of our lives. Or maybe it's the excessive time we spend on video games or online with different electronic devices. But, you know, there's all kinds of things that we can involve ourselves in that are unhealthy for us. And I know I'm meddling here, but if we want 2025 to be a better year, it really means that we need to go forward making some hard choices. And I'm reminded of that when we read Philippians 3:13-14, which read, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it yet, but I focus on the one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." So when it comes to running our race and looking forward to the prize at the finish line, we don't look to what's behind. I'm reminded when Paul gives us this analogy, what every track coach tells his athletes. When you're running the race, you don't look behind. Inevitably, anytime you're running a race and you turn your head to see where you're at in the race, you're just going to slow down and you're going to risk the chance of losing the race. Now, I know getting ourselves to a better place is necessary and important in our road to finding help in the future. But without the ability to set aside past failures and hurts, they just become a constant reminder to us of the guilt and the shame that we carry around. And they're stunting our growth, whether we realize or not. They're keeping us from becoming all that God wants us to be. And that's surprising. We avoid getting the help we need, maybe out of guilt or our inability to trust other people in our lives. But what I think could be a good starting point is to connect with somebody. Reach out, find somebody we can trust who can help us work through and give us some advice to get us to move forward in our lives. So much more could be said about this whole issue of bad influences on our life, but I want to briefly touch on one last point in laying aside our past. by asking a different question. Could living in the past victories of life also be holding us back? Something to think about. Isaiah 43:18-19 says this, "But do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forward. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Maybe you have a sense that God is speaking to you lately, and that he has something new for you to do. And he will build these new experiences on the victories of our past. He might even be asking us to make a road in the wilderness or to carve out a river in the desert. Now, I know that doesn't sound all that exciting, you know, being in the desert, the wilderness. But I believe if God is asking us to do something, that it will be good and that we'll enjoy every moment of it. So I can recall a moment in my own life. It was at a Camp Daniel board meeting, and we were discussing this next building that we're going to be constructed. And it was the most important building that had to be built before we open up the new camp, and it was our dining hall. And the construction of this was going to be unlike anything that we had built before. In the past, we didn't have to conform to every building code that we would hear in Green Bay, but suddenly now, with this new construction of this dining hall, we were going to have to do some things we didn't have to do in the past. And that added cost to the project, and we, like a very conservative board that Camp Daniel had, we wanted to make sure that we had the money on hand to at least mostly fund this new project before we started and broke ground. But when the fundraising process of that slowed down, the temptation was to hold back on breaking ground. But as we talked about it, I think we all agreed that perhaps God wasn't looking for us to slow down, but rather step out in faith and believe that he would bring the resources necessary to finish that building. And that proved to be the case. As construction began and people saw the magnificence of this building, and if you've never been to Camp Daniel and saw their dining hall, it's a beautiful building. And as people saw this, and as they captured the vision of what this was going to be, those donations did come up. And they were of any number of different sizes of donations. We had corporate people stepping up. There was many, many people stepping up with donations from their personal finances. And it was just a beautiful thing. And that building, you know what? It did get built. And it was like paving ground in the wilderness. It was challenging at times, but it accomplished what God had set out to do. And he providentially made it all come together. So I think the way God uses the new things in life to invigorate us, and it's there to help us to move us along with new enthusiasm for the future. So we may have considered that our past victories are like, well, they're like stepping stones, aren't they? They're leading us to the next plateau in which God is going to use us. And as we advance with each new place in life, God will reveal more of his infinite plan for each of us. Which brings us to our second point, laying out spiritual goals for 2025. So we can get stuck at times trying to understand the direction that God is leading us in our lives. You know, one time I had heard Amy Sirwighty, our children's program director, she was giving some advice to somebody looking for some direction in their life. And she had asked some simple questions that brought such clarity to what this person was looking for in their questions. And Amy asked if God gave that person the direction that put them where they were at this point in their lives. And they said, yes, God had done that. And she continued by asking, Has God given you anything definitively new that has you questioning that direction? And if not, why would we assume that God has changed his mind? Which brings us to the next point. Change for the sake of change is not always helpful when we're presently in the will of God and doing what he wants us to do. So even though I'm challenging you to consider the new things in life for 2025 and all that God has in store for us, for some of us, staying right where we're at in our call, moving forward, is a God-honoring thing. And I think many of us here are in that place. You know, Janice and I have been leading Able Church for some 14 or 15 years, and we haven't felt the call for God to move us ahead, at least not yet. That could happen in the future. We don't know. But being in God's will and fulfilling the call that God's made us on our lives is a good thing. And it's something that we can feel good about and pursue for the future. So when we're looking for spiritual direction for our lives, another important question to ask ourselves is this: are we devoted and obedient in doing what God is asking us to do? That's a serious question. In Luke 11, 27 and 28, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said this to him, talking to Jesus: "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts of which you nursed." But Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So this principle of God's blessing us and providing direction for our lives because of our obedience, past and present, is really undeniable. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 12, we learn the many different blessings that God brought to the Jews, and I believe he's telling us the same thing in principle for those of us who would be obedient to his call on our lives. And for those of us who tend to be rebels, we should listen to these words as well, because we might be realizing everything that we're missing out on by being rebels. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 6. Let me read that for you. "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commands that I have commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these things, blessings, shall come upon you and overtake you. And if you obey the voice of your Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall you be your basket and your netting bowl. Blessed you shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." Thank you, Lord. You can clap to that. Those are wonderful promises. And did you pick up on the word blessed at all? I think we did. Anyway, we read in these short six verses seven different times where God is talking about blessing as a consequence of being obedient. And he's emphasizing the outcome of living an obedient life according to his word. So in this chapter, we have 14 verses of blessings, and then it goes on with 54 additional verses addressing the curses that follow disobedience. You talk about what we don't want to do, right? So the best advice I can give anyone to experience a better 2025 is to embrace an attitude of obedience to God and his word this year. Life just goes better. Amen. Blessings and obedience go hand in hand. That was told to us going back to the early 80s when I became a part of this church. Our senior pastor, Jim Erickson, said it over and over. Many of us heard it. Raise your hand if you've heard back going those days, that word. So we got a lot of new people here, so it's good for us to now establish this all over again. But Jim Erickson, our founding pastor, would often tell us this saying of blessing and obedience go hand in hand. So another guiding scripture offered to us seeking direction for our lives is found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let me read that to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Well, that's a wonderful verse. This one, another one that we should have on the dashboard of our car, shouldn't we? So we need to remind ourselves that God isn't trying to keep his plan. He's not trying to hide that plan from us. So that is a foundational truth that we can remember and take home with us today. And as believers, we are saved by God's grace to serve him with a purpose and a trust. At Able Church, we often say that God has a plan for our lives. And I know that sounds a little perhaps cliche-ish, but it's containing words that we can trust, and they're based on Ephesians 2:10, which says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we can be encouraged that God has prepared good works, and he did that. He did that preparation before we even committed our lives to him. And I think the realization of all of that means that God truly wants us to be a part of his plan for our community, this church, and the world today. So for me, it's exciting to know that we're part of something bigger than just ourselves alone. Every one of us has a role to play, and we'll be rewarded for our willingness and obedience to answering that call that God makes on our lives. So the other scripture that tracks closely with this is found in Psalms 37:4, another one of those, you know, mantle verses that we should put up. It says this, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." This was a verse I learned very early in my Christian walk. And for me, it had one meaning, and then it seemed to develop into another meaning as time went on. So when I thought about God giving me the desires of my heart, I thought, yeah, I like that. It brought me back to my childhood when I put those lists together for Santa Claus. And I wanted, you know, him to fulfill everything I had on that list. But you know, as I grew in my understanding of that verse, I saw this more about God providing for us the blessings that we need for the needs of our lives, right? A little bit different slant on that. And I see a center not necessarily on just material goods either. I mean, God could fulfill material needs for us, and I think he does, but I also see it a little bit differently. I see that God places the desires for us to do his will and do those things that align with his will, and he places those things in our heart. He gives us the desires of his heart so that we will fulfill those desires, and as a result of that, we will do the plan. We will fulfill the plan that he has for our lives. Why? It's because we're here to glorify God. We're here to fulfill the plan that God's given us so that we might glorify God and give him glory. As Jane Seiler always reminds me, giving God the glory. Friends, as I said, we can trust that God isn't trying to keep the good things of life from us, but he wants us to trust him by faith for his ability to make known his will for our lives. And in Matthew 6:27, 26, and 27 reminds us of his provisions for our lives. It says this, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you of more value than they?" And isn't this just another verse reminding us that we're more important than many of the created things of this world? We have a relationship with our God and our Heavenly Father, and He is trying to draw us closer to Him in that relationship. And my last point in laying out a spiritual goal is it's a little different in terms of a reminder. As we begin our church 21-day fast, I'm reminded that the testimonies that came out of these past years of doing this fast were very much tremendous and powerful. I know some people get a little concerned about fasting for 21 days, but I'm here to tell you that there's something very powerful that takes place when a body of believers at a church come together and they pray, breaking and releasing the strongholds of our lives. You know, fasting's hard, and I don't deny that it's a hard experience to go through, but it's also a very powerful experience for us to be a part of. So Janice and I, every year when this comes up, we make a list of things that we want God to address. And we always come out of this blessed, because many of these answers come during this time of fasting. And I think some of you are aware of my testimony when I shared back in 2015 when I prayed for my dad's salvation. And then after that time of fasting and praying over that particular issue, along with many others, we visited my parents down in their summer home, and I was able to lead my dad to the Lord during that time. Again, this was a man that told my brother that if being in heaven means we stand around praising the Lord, he didn't want any part of that. And in the last couple of weeks of his life, he was praising the Lord over and over. I don't know how to explain that other than it's God at work. In Matthew 17:21, when the disciples asked Jesus why they couldn't exorcise demons out of a boy brought to them by his father, we read the words of Jesus saying, "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So Jesus is confirming here that fasting breaks down the strongholds of sin that can't be overcome any other way in many instances. So God honors our sacrifice of laying aside our desire to eat and the pleasures of eating to pursue Him and to pursue praying for His will to be done in our lives. And that is a very, very powerful thing. Which brings us to our third point, pressing ahead for 2025. So pressing ahead for 2025 and leaving the failures and the fears of our past behind us, well, that is not easy. And I wouldn't tell you otherwise, but just a man that I never met before, but read a quote by him. His name is Robert Lapariolo. I probably slaughtered his last name, but he's quoted as saying, "Bravery is not the absence of fear, but the forging ahead despite being afraid." I like that. You know, we're all fearful of things in our lives at different times, but we need to be brave. We need to be brave because we need to seek the Lord and confront those fears in our lives that are holding us back. So moving ahead in life, it's important, especially when we know God has given us clear direction. And when we choose to say no to God out of fear or out of lack of faith, we aren't creating a safe place for our lives. And that's what we might be thinking. I'm going to pull back because, after all, I just feel a little stressed. I feel fearful. I don't feel like I'm where I need to be. So I'm going to pull back to a safer place. But we're not creating a safer place for ourselves. Instead, we run the risk of being deemed rebellious. Like the Jews, when they refused to take the promised land as told to us back in Numbers chapter 13. Now, just as background to that story, you know that Caleb and Joshua, after scouting along with the 10 others, this promised land that God had given them, they came back and they told Moses that they could and should take this new land that God had promised them. But not everyone felt that way. Like I said, there were 10 others that were a part of this. And we read in Numbers 13, 31 through 32, what they had to say to Moses. But the other men who had explored the land with Caleb disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land amongst the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes up there and live there. And the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Now, to them, we felt like grasshoppers." And that's what they thought too. So when these 10 out of the 12 spies sent into the promised land spread this bad report out of fear and not out of faith, the result, well, it was devastating. God had the Hebrews wandering the desert for an additional 40 years until that entire generation of Jews from 21 years of age and older had died off. The remaining descendants that were under 21, which included Joshua and Caleb out of their obedience, they wandered the desert for those 40 years, and they would learn that faith means we step out even when we can't see the immediate outcome that God has for us. There's a lesson to be learned there. We can't always see what's on the other side of the next thing that God has for us. Worship team, can you come on up? We're about ready to wrap this up. At Able Church, we define faith as believing in that which we can't see. Believing that which we can't see. See, the Jews, they entered this promised land. They needed to believe on what they couldn't see. They needed to believe that this land was theirs for the taking. And they needed to believe that God was going to help them to overcome the obstacle that stood in their way. And that's true of us. We're going to face obstacles in our lives. We're going to have giants that are going to stand before us, and we're going to be fearful, and we're going to lack the faith. But the faith that we need says that I can do that even though I can't see how I'm going to do that. Remember that the quote that I gave you just a little bit earlier. Bravery is not the absence of fear, but the forging ahead despite being afraid. And that's the key, as we step forward. That's the faith part of that element, as we're stepping forward in spite or despite being afraid. If God leads us to do something new in 2025, we can know that it will be good because He is good and His purposes for us are good, they're pleasing, and they're perfect. And all these things are told to us by His word found in Romans 12:2. And you know what? If we need some wisdom along the way to get through these difficult times that we're going to face, we can have that too. God made a provision for that as well. In James 1:5, He says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all of us liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to us." Well, I don't know about you, but I'm very dependent on God's wisdom. How about you? Yeah. So when those giants appear, chances are we're going to need a little wisdom along with the other things in life. And God said, "I'll give it to you. I'll not only give you the wisdom, but I'll give it to you generously." Wow. You're not going to give me just enough? No. God says, "I'll give it to you generously. You only have to ask for it." Well, that's asking a lot. I have to ask you for that? Yes. God's inviting us in this relationship that we have with Him. He's asking us, be a part of the relationship. Ask me what it is that you need. Is it wisdom? Ask me for the wisdom. Remember, whatever God's at work doing, whatever He's preparing for us, and whatever we step forward to accept, He will equip us to do it, and we will succeed in doing it if we have the faith to believe it. But the wisest thing that we can possibly do in taking on new ground for 2025 or any time in the future is to make sure that our lives are right with God. That's the important thing. We don't want to be out of fellowship with God. We all know that sin separates us from God. So we want to be in fellowship with God in obedience to what He's asking us to do, in obedience to His word. That's what's going to create the relationship that's going to take us forward for 2025 and many years to come. Don't be the rebel. Rebels are never really happy. They're never experiencing all that God has for them. And it's all because of their disobedience. So for us, it's all about listening to the Holy Spirit and making sure that we're conforming with the words that God is speaking to us by the Holy Spirit and by His words. Are our lives surrendered this morning? I feel compelled to ask if some of us might need prayer this morning to help us step forward in a new faith for 2025. Maybe you've never asked Christ into your life. Maybe that's your greatest need this morning. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to step forward. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to ask you all to join me in this prayer. If you would repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, we surrender our lives to You. We surrender our all to You. And we pray, Lord, that You will help us to lay aside the old things of the past, that we might pursue the new things that You have for us. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin and come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And help me to live for You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if that was you this morning, praying that prayer of surrender, I'd sure like to shake your hand and give you a hearty congratulations. So I'm going to be over here. I know Gerald's going to have prayer people up front here. If you have some specific things that you're struggling with, maybe you want to have one of Gerald's prayer partners pray for you. And I would be glad to pray. My wife and I would be glad to pray for you as well.